Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, MLK Day. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. A lot of stuff to talk about. We've got some updates on Tina Peters. I want to talk about Don Lemon and the debacle and with the ICE protesters in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Don Lemon trying to pretend he has some sort of journalistic shield, which he does not. But I want to start off with Dave Derangement Syndrome has struck Colorado GOP chair Britta Horn full in the face again. It's an anonymous post on Substack, and I don't want to get into a ton of the details about it because it is as false as it is ridiculous, but we wanted to talk about it because the reason for it is Britta Horn is trying to deflect from all of her ongoing disastrous leadership issues, particularly financial ones, right?
Well, it's a three-part series started toward the end of December, and had two in December and one here later, January. And these are incredibly long, meticulously footnoted, totally incomprehensible attack screeds on basically Dave Williams.
Who's been gone for a year now, by the way.
And it's she's going to have her end of the year report due soon. And that's going to be a disaster. I mean, utter disaster. So she's got to figure out, well, why was I so pathetic?
It's Dave Williams' fault. Well, here's a couple of things I want to point out about it. What we're talking about is Britta has to file an FEC report, and she can file at any time, but it's released publicly and it's due. The deadline is the 31st. Now, we know previously she's acknowledged that the party is broke, that their expenditures far outweigh what they're bringing on. So she had to take out a loan. Apparently, the Tracer report showed that she had like $777 in, but she spent $3,000 to an IT company recently. And I got to wonder, when I read this convoluted thing saying, oh, Dave erased emails, destroyed the infrastructure of the Colorado Republican Party, you know, one, you'd think if that was true, she would have mentioned it, oh, when they took over. Two, it looked to me as if the first thing I said is this reads like a lawyer. It's incredibly, the lawyers, no offense, Chuck, are not necessarily the best, like, writers. You are, Chuck is an excellent writer, but that's because of your journalistic background. Your average lawyer, they footnote stuff and they get overly complicated to document it. And at the end, you're going like, what are you saying? And that's what this is like. So I'm like, to me, this reads like a lawyer wrote it, clearly had a lot of inside information, clearly had gone back through Google and audited stuff. So here's my question. Number one, is Britta Horn continuing to give money to, she spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in unnecessary and vengeful legal fees with Steve Klenda. Did Steve Klenda write this? That's what I wanted to know.
Well, yeah, we thought about maybe having a contest, although we don't know who would be the winner, in which you'd have four choices. One would be Steve Klenda, the lawyer, which she really does nothing without, and so it would make a lot of sense. Two would be Todd Watkins. I mean, he's one of the brighter of the...
Yeah, yeah.
Trader Todd is one of the brighter ones, but he's not a lawyer. I helped edit one of his ones to Ken Buck, and while I thought it was well done, it was not like this. It was not a lawyer. It was a border agent one. But Todd Watkins could be one. Alec? I never know. The executive assistant, although there's no indication he's lawyer-esque, and he's in his young 20s, and it doesn't seem like a young person's writing. Or I think it'd be other possible AI. It's an AI written one, but
But somebody had to write. Either way, my question is she paying somebody to write these attacks on Dave Rubin? Now she's going to go, I have no idea. It's anonymous, by the way.
No, no, it's Manitas Vagelaus, which means Manitas was a second century Christian heretic, and Vigilanus is Latin for vigilant. So ever vigilant Christian heretic, I
there
guess.
We go.
There you go.
You think
And it's,
if they were really ever vigilant, they would have spoken up about this a year ago, but they didn't. And secondly, though, did she pay to have, what's this $3,000 IT expense for, right? Did she pay to have that done? And again, the reason we want to mention this is it's ridiculous on its face, the claims, but what's happening is she's going to have to file her first FEC report. Well, the second one, I mean, the last one was filed in July, where arguably she had just started and she didn't have any money. We know now that she's broke. I think this is going to show that they're not bringing in any money.
It's Dave's fault.
It's Dave. Well, and not only that, but because it's an election year, the Federal Election Commission requires her to file a financial report every month now.
Ooh, that's going to be ugly.
Yeah, that's going to be ugly. So we know she's got no money coming in. We're hearing, and I think this makes sense, that the RNC has agreed to front her the money to hold the assembly. That's not such a big deal because they'll probably collect that in badge fees so they could pay the RNC back. But
right.
It is kind of a shame she didn't have that kind of money. But again, rather than actually focusing on the issues facing the Colorado Republicans and the Colorado Republican parties, rather than trying to actually help candidates, rather than trying to plan the assembly, because it's a disaster so far. She's finally got a date and a location, but nobody knows what their delegates are. Nobody knows how it's going to be counted, who's going to be credentialed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of questions. Rather than focusing on this, Britta and her people, of which there's like two now.
That's her people.
Yeah. Are launching an attack on Dave Williams. Rather than trying to fix things, rather than reaching across and saying, okay, I'm going to drop these ridiculous lawsuits. Guys, let's work together. I mean, we've talked about this before. Her own officers, Russ Andrews and Richard Holtorf, want to recall her. I was on a call the other day, a Zoom call with Natalie Tennant, who was put together and says she has the signatures to call a special meeting to hold a recall vote on Britta Horn. Why she's not doing it, I don't know. Probably because Britta will ignore her.
Well, because she's a little bit of a snake.
Well, yeah, I kind of wonder about Natalie's motives there. But in either way, I mean, Natalie is one of her strongest supporters to at least be publicly saying, so she's lost all of her supporters. Rather than trying to focus on that, she's spending time and energy on attacking Dave Williams.
Who's, well, one whole column, Dave, as we all know, the Republican Party was with all the establishment not contributing, assiduously looking for money. And so one of the ways in which a lot of states help fund the party for a while is to charge fees if you want to be in their primary. South Carolina did, Arizona. I mean, there are a dozen more, maybe two dozen states to do it. So Dave said, that seems like reasonable. Reached out, see how they did it, what they required, and came up with his own schedule where if you gave 40, you didn't have to come to a fundraiser, but if you raised 20, gave 20, you'd have something. This is brilliant.
This is for presidential candidates. This is not for state candidates.
This is in 2024.
This is for
presidential candidates.
Candidates
and so forth. And of course they have millions. And so all of them contributed and the party got about $200,000, which you could desperately need.
Right.
So there's a whole column on this, feeling sorry for Vivek Ramaswamy and Donald Trump and everybody else.
Kamala Harris. Who could
Kamala Harris.
Spend
no, Kamala wasn't in the Republican Party.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
so
right.
She didn't have to contribute, but it's a lot of people that
yeah, I mean, it's,
of all the things to attack Dave on, you know, instead of going, well, that's brilliant.
And you're just kind of
that
clever.
Has funded a lot of campaigns, mailers, lots of wonderful things for a party. It was hilarious. And they list everyone and it's just great stuff.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's
oh,
pathetic.
Jacob, you're right. Harris was not in any primary. Good point.
Yeah.
Very good point,
that's
Jacob.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, she's the unity party. This is, you know, it's astonishing that this is where she's spending her time and energy. And again, as always, it kind of blows up on social media.
And,
so,
oh, yeah. The first one was that as with all administrations, so last month they pay off all the bills and pay whoever's owed money and so forth. And
For some reason, she objected to that.
well, she objected to that.
So they left her. So the Dave administration left the Colorado Republican Party with $70,000 in the bank
And no debt.
And no debt, right? Which is a good thing.
Unlike AVP, who promised to leave $100,000. Instead, she left $30,000 and a ton of debt.
Right. So for some reason, they're complaining about that, that he paid the bills. And again, keep in mind, it's not even really, I don't want to get into the weeds on what their complaint is about.
Oh, sure. We
the
got
the main
idea.
Reason, because I'm going to talk about some of this other stuff. The main thing I want to point out is she's doing this to deflect from the fact that, you know, she was going to have the $1.4 million budget. She was going to do all of these things. She was going to raise all of this money. She's been a disaster, such a disaster. And it's not just grassroots complaining, right? Her own people, the old establishment, the rhinos, they don't like her either, and they want to recall her.
Well, if the time to do it, if it would ever done any good, and I doubt it in the forum it would done any good, but if the time to do it was in April, when you first took over. Say,
for her to complain, she should have said, yes, if there was a legitimate complaint.
Late April or something, or maybe early May, then you know, maybe somebody would listen. But when you do it in 2026?
Yeah.
Really? It's all Dave's fault. She can't raise any money. That the 2026 elections are going to be a disaster because of
Dave.
Not you. Not you who's in charge. But
Dave Williams?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things that it's not going to get better. I personally, you know, there's some debate on should they recall her, shouldn't they recall her? You know, I begin to wonder whether we should.
Right, Jacob, will you be willing to take over the Republican
Jacob,
Party?
Take over the Republican
can you
Party.
Be the chair?
I think that.
You hadn't said yes or no.
Yet. So, well, we're going to nominate him. No. You know, I almost wonder. Anyone takes over now, they're going to be in charge.
Oh, that's no problem. She's a registered Democrat. That doesn't matter. You know, anybody. It doesn't say you have to be a registered Republican anywhere.
That's right. Just kind of like being a coroner in Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know. But, you know, again.
AG, you know, it's an attorney.
I don't know whether we just kind of leave her in place and let the assembly, which is, you know, probably going to be a disaster on her watch and not give her the option of saying, oh, see, it was all you people, you know. On the other hand, as we've talked about numerous times before in this show, I think that there are plenty of people, elected officials like Barb Kirkmeyer, who would like the assembly to be a disaster so they can say, see, we don't need
assemblies.
Well,
she's not going to go through it. She's going to petition
right,
on.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, but it is putting, I know in talking to some other people, it's putting a lot of the candidates going through the petition route is expensive, right? But they're concerned that if the assembly is a disaster, do they get on the ballot? Should they go through the petition route? I mean, all of that stuff, these are a lot of questions. So it's, I mean, her and the way she's handling this is having significant consequences and repercussions on the candidates, which has significant repercussions for who we vote for. And then in the meantime,
Mayor says,
he
wants Jacob
as the chair.
As the chair.
So keep in mind, she's simply doing this, and we'll keep you posted on what the FEC report says on January 31st.
She'll delay with that one as long as she possibly can.
She can. I think it's public record.
What do you mean you can't? You just don't file it. You get a
well,
fine
then,
or something.
Like, no,
join
yeah.
the line of people.
People trying to get money from the Colorado Republican
yeah,
Party.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that. So we'll keep
you. That's that. That's that.
So you wanted to say on that?
I just think we ought to read the whole thing on air. I mean, it just goes on for pages and pages. And it's well written in a lawyerly way. But if you talk about an argument to people, to average Republicans, it's incredibly stupid. It is incredibly stupid because you just get lost. I mean, I'm a lawyer, and I'm going, oh, my God, is he ever going to make his point here?
Well, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, exactly. That's what my first. So hopefully she's not spending any money. And if we find out, though, we'll talk about that, too.
Clinton's just going to hide it in the bill. He's not going to say
He's not going to say for evil anonymous articles about
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah. Well, there they are.
There's $3,000.
Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
Let's see, what's Jacob say? Oh, have an assembly at a casino. There you go.
Yeah, we got the Republican Hispanics having a casino now. So why not
really?
Make it part of the assembly?
Yeah, Jacob, wouldn't going through the petition route prevent the Democrats from nominating a centrist Republican? Yeah, from meddling in the primary. Well, not really, because the grassroots people come out of the assembly. And so you have to be a grassroots candidate. We don't have to be. I mean,
yeah.
They vote. And if you get 30%, you come out of the assembly and you get on the ballot. But the Democrats, they would vote in the primary, so they could end up doing it. I don't know that the Democrat, the problem is we have enough, not even centrist Republicans, we've got outright rhino Republicans running on the other side. So, but that, it's a mess no matter how you look at it. We were going to talk about Tina Peters, but can we talk about Don Lemon real quick
We
first?
love Don Lemon.
Yeah. So,
Is everybody out there a Don Lemon fan? Look at it lighting up. Our thing is lighting up.
I thought he was gone. I guess he has a podcast someplace.
Well, that's where people
Oh,
go.
okay. Yeah, really. Not his mother listens to it. So he was with, so I'm sure people have heard, a group of anti-ICE protesters for some reason invaded a church.
Because the pastor is, in fact, I think, an ICE employee.
Okay. Oh, there you go. That's all you need to know. So they invaded it, wreaked havoc, terrorized people.
They're all shouting and screaming.
Shut down the service, which is a really serious violation of federal law. You can't do that.
Justice for George Floyd, you know, the kind of
Right. You can't go into a church. I mean,
you can.
well, you can, but then you can get
You're
in
a
trouble for it.
Democrat. If you're a
But
Democrat, you can.
Don Lemon was, and Harmeet Dillon has said they're going to go after these people. It's like this is a clear violation of the law. Protesting in the streets is one thing, but you cannot go,
Fade.
and you can't invade a church. You have a clear right to assembly to worship God, the God of our
Well,
choice,
not
right?
in a Democrat.
Well, yeah, Democrats, there is no God, so
There is no
you
God,
can't
so
worship
what are
God.
you doing there?
Right. But Don Lemon was along with them, and they're saying, hey, we're investigating Don Lemon too. And he's trying to say, oh, no, I have a journalistic shield. And I want to talk about this a little bit because that is something I have some experience in. Bottom line, if you're a reporter, and I know the lines are kind of blurry anymore with citizen journalists, right? But if you're a reporter, if you're going to claim you're a reporter, you still can't break the law. And it gets really tricky if you're going to be
Embedded with the
with
protesters.
people who you know or anybody who you know is going to break the law, right? I mean, the certain courts will say, well, were you passive? In other words, did you just like happen to get caught behind the lines or something
Yeah,
like that? As
Don
the
Lemon wasn't that.
No, I mean, and here's a couple of people. This is going.
Jacob says they're going to charge her on the KKK Act. All
That's
right.
right. That's right.
That'll show Don Lemon.
That, yeah, exactly. But years and years ago, there was a huge case in Colorado. A Channel 4 reporter, Wendy Bergen, her name was,
Poor Wendy.
was filming a pit bull fight. Well, in Colorado, pit bulls were in the news then. In Colorado, it's illegal to attend a pit bull fight. And so she tried to pretend that people sent her the video and that all went to pieces, but she ended up getting indicted. And I don't know if she pled guilty or was convicted, but you can't say, oh, I'm going to attend a pit bull fight. And then if the pit bull fight gets busted and people arrested and you were there, say, well, I'm just here as a reporter. You can't do that. I know when I was a reporter, we did numerous, not numerous, but I would say occasional things where we would be. I did a series of stories with some gang members, right? And we were in their crack house when they were making
As you
crack,
are,
as
yeah.
one is, and selling crack. It was kind of funny because they're like, do you want some? And we're like, oh no, we're working. I mean, it's not trying to be polite, right? But we talked at length with the station lawyers and things like that because, again, and frankly, we kind of reached out, sort of
Direct.
off the record to the police department, to the DA's office. And basically they said, okay, we hear what you're saying. You're doing this story. But they're like, hey, if this house gets hit in a crack raid and you're in the crack house, who knows?
All bets are
Exactly.
off.
All bets are off. You can't say, oh, we were just here videotaping the crime, right? If you're participating, and in this case, the Don Lemon case, clearly there's trespassing there. So if you're a lawyer, you can't trespass. Now, in something like that, you could stand on the outside and shoot in. But if people are trespassing, protesters are trespassing, you can't trespass too. You have to stay on the outside, right? So there's no journalistic shield here for breaking the law. And, I mean, again, sometimes you can kind of walk the line, but when I was a reporter, you did that with a lot of legal guidance and the clear understanding
You could be screwed.
that you could be screwed. I mean, what if, like if we're in this crack house and there's another gang attack on the crack house and people are shot and killed or whatever, right? We can't just say, oh, we were just here shooting it, right? That goes away. So Don Lemon bizarrely acknowledged that he was in on it. So, Thomas, if we could please play, and I know I said we'd do it later in the show, so I don't want to catch you by surprise. If we could please play the Don Lemon soundbite.
A little bit ago, and did some reconnaissance on the ground and speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the community coming together. Diverse community. If you see this, when we first pulled up, we're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? So the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up. And it's Takiema Armstrong, and she has been doing this since George Floyd, Dante Wright, and others, where they surprise people, catch them off guard, and hold them to account. And so that's what we're doing here. And then we're after that, after we do this operation, you'll see it live. And these operations are surprise operations. Again, can't tell you where they're going.
I mean, and that's the thing. He said, we're going to do it live. So clearly he knows they're going to break the law. Clearly he's going along with them breaking the law. And you can't do that as a reporter. You just can't do that and say, oh, I have the shoe law. And Harmeet Dhillon cracked down hard. It's that, you know, none of them can do what they're doing. So if we could please play the Harmeet Dhillon soundbite.
The attorney general has been on this from the moment it happened. There are already two prosecutors from my office on their way to Minneapolis, and they'll be there this morning. We have an FBI team assembled and local prosecutors as well. This is going to get the highest attention from the Department of Justice because there is no more sacred right in our Constitution than the right to assemble and pray to God. And there are federal laws that protect that right. And what happened here was a shameful exercise of virtue signaling, disruption, fear, terror. You can see children in this video being ushered out the back by their terrorized mothers. And this is illegal. And I want to add that the Biden administration prosecuted people peacefully praying outside abortion clinics. Yes. For much, much less.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, and here's the thing. I hope they do. This is sometimes, you know, you look at how many people, I mean, the DOJ does seem to have it, Harmeet Dhillon in particular, doing their job, because that's the only way. You have these crazy liberal white women who have personality disorders. Gangs of angry wine moms. But it's worse than that.
Angry women.
Well, what
AWFL.
Well, they're awful is what they are. but they think that somehow they can just break the law, right? And they can just impede police investigations, and they can just go disrupt a church service.
Angry woke female liberals. I know it.
Right. Right. I mean, and it's like the only way you're going to make them stop is to start arresting them, right? I mean, look, again, you look at what they did with the January 6th people. All of those people were taping themselves, right? Yeah. So we should be able to use facial recognition technology to find them. And I think you just go after all of them. And I hope they do, because otherwise they're going to keep pushing and keep pushing, as we talked before, right? They want violence. They wanted somebody in the church to stand up and fight them, right? They're hoping for that. And they're not going to just stop. They're not going to say, oh, I guess we shouldn't go into churches and bother people, right? No, they're just going to keep doing it.
Fair.
So, and again, but back to Don Lemon, he does not have any kind of immunity any more than those other people do. You can't commit a crime with other people who are committing a crime and then say,
yeah, I do love that he's got the little microphone with DL on it. That's cool.
Yeah, Don Lemon. Yeah, from Jacob, school board attendees were investigated by the FBI. Exactly. I mean, so I hope that the Trump administration, and I know that they have so many internal people embedded who are, you know, deep state people, and it's hard to get anything done. But I hope that they really do start going after these people. Don't just investigate Renee Good. Go ahead and charge her with obstruction. Don't just investigate, you know, and also take away the GoFundMe page, right? She's got the GoFundMe page because she's going to raise their son. It wasn't their son, right? Yeah. They weren't married. It's atrocious what they're getting away with. And I don't know, hopefully the only way it's going to stop is sort of like lawfare, right? You fight lawfare with lawfare.
Well, they don't have to do lawfare so much. I mean, it's a valid arrest for, or else they'll start, who knows where they'll go next, but no, the Republican Party or the administration has got to look at a little guts, going. I mean, my God, it's, They clearly are preventing law enforcement officers from doing their legally appointed tasks. So.
Well, and they don't even care, right? You saw the one, and I couldn't find it. I was going to play it, the soundbite where the ICE agent is pulling off, and they were going to go arrest a serial child sex offender, right? Well, a serial sex offender who was a sex, not, he wasn't a child sex offender, he was an adult who was sexually assaulting children, an illegal immigrant sexually assaulting children. They were going to go arrest this guy. And here are these white women, right, saying, no, no, we stand with the sex offender, right? We stand with the sex offender, not this guy. It's like, in what world does, and again, we go back to what we've talked about before, is they just want to sow chaos. They don't, right, wrong, moral, not moral, ethics, don't. These are well-funded. You heard he was saying, the woman that, John Lemon was saying, the woman that were going in has been doing this since George Floyd. Well, that's her job, right? She's getting paid. And at least Stephen Miller and Harmeet Dhillon have talked about tracking the funding sources for these people, which are all NGOs, and putting a halt to that. Because if the money goes away, then all of a sudden it's harder to pay these people. Right. I read a thing that said GPS data was showing that like almost 60%, and this may or may not mean, I mean, because people have cell phones and they move, but were from people who were not from Minnesota, you know, people there. So, and you know that, right? They fly them in and they pay them. All these signs, everything just magically appears. Okay, yesterday I met a friend that I had not seen in 40 years. He's from St. Louis Park, Minnesota. He told me that the whole good incident happened in a crowd that wasn't even a block long. I think, you know, are you saying that the crowds weren't that big? Because I have been reading reports that are like, these are not that giant of crowds anymore, right? And it's Minnesota in the wintertime. So, I mean, if I'm going to be a paid protester, I'm like, do we have any?
Get a Miami or anything.
Texas, even, or something like that.
Miami, Miami sounds a little nicer.
Not Minnesota.
Boca Raton. I could really protest hard in Boca Raton.
That's right.
All the Republicans there,
so,
too.
So that's, I think, the other key to do it is that to stop the NGOs, because that's what happened in Minnesota, right? So you have all these Somalis come in, they fraudulently apply for all this stuff that's given to them by NGOs, which then some goes to the Somalis, then it gets funneled back into the politicians
to get terrorists back in Somalia.
I mean,
everybody gets a fair share,
but on the
other, fair share for all.
But the other thing it does is it goes back to continue electing the officials who let it appear. And I mean, talk about corruption. So, Hopefully, Don Lemon, that, I think it'll be fun if he gets, that's why we'll have to get Ash App back on. Initially, they tried to prosecute her under the KKK Act.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right.
And they had to drop all that. So that would serve him right on Martin Luther King Day.
Martin Luther King Day.
To be prosecuted under the KKK Act.
All right.
Tina Peters.
Tina Peters. What can we say about Tina Peters?
Again, now, sometimes some of the information coming out on social media about Tina Peters, I have found you have to be kind of careful and watch the sourcing on it. But some fairly good sources on social media have been reporting that Tina was assaulted in the prison where she's being held last night. And when she defended herself, they're claiming that she has been threatened with being charged with assault.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, right? The Department of Corrections so far hasn't said anything.
And they'll be fair.
Yeah, they'll be fair. But you hope with this attention, I mean, we talked a little bit and Chuck went ahead and listened the hearing, but it occurred actually after our show, for Tina Peters, I mean, the Colorado Court of Appeals, surprisingly, people at the end were saying, hey, this was a kind of, you know, they expected to say, oh, she's this horrible election denier, blah, blah, blah. And instead, they didn't even really talk about that very much. They got into some interesting legal things, and it looks hopeful for Tina, right?
Well, one, you know, I clerked for a judge on the 10th Circuit, and so I'd attend all the arguments for a three-judge 10th Circuit federal panel. And I've taken up an appeal in several cases. So I've been to more than my share of appellate arguments. I can guarantee you this is an extraordinary one. One, they knew it was going to be televised. Two, they knew that they're going to get a huge audience for it. So they were on their best behavior. Normally, when you go to a criminal appeal, the judges are bored because criminal appeals are kind of like, So they're kind of sitting back going, do we have standards?
Playing Candy Crush or something.
Yeah, playing Candy Crush. And no, these guys were alert on top of it. They were asking questions that you normally would get in a Supreme Court argument. These guys did a better job than Kijaji Brown did in asking questions. And they were friendly and they were nice and they're everything you'd want a appellate court to be. John Case started his arguments, and yeah, I love John Case. I've known him for a long time. I'm not sure he was his best day, probably not. But they quickly, and this happens on
Right, I
appointment,
think in
Amos.
part, yeah, they kind of, he
Well,
has this whole argument prepared and all of a
that's
sudden.
what happens in appellate arguments, and good ones anyway. They've read the briefs, hopefully, or at least their clerk has read the briefs and given a summary by the law clerk. And so, and in the Colorado Court of Appeals, it's interesting. They've already made up their minds. They have already decided what they're going to do, subject to the all arguments changing their minds, because they don't want you to ask for oral arguments, because they don't want to waste their time talking to you. And so it's kind of a strange process when you go for an appellate hearing before judges who have already tentatively, anyway, made up their mind. But he got lost, or the judges made him get lost on jurisdiction. Do they have jurisdiction? And I'm afraid that the argument given by John was not very
No,
convincing
I
to
think the
me.
judges were kind of trying to say, hey, we might be citing, because he was trying to say, you don't have jurisdiction. And they're like, well, why are we here? And I think they were trying to say, John, you're here because we think we might side with you. So shut
Shut the F up. And he was kind of going, well, once you raise the federal supremacy question, regardless how tenuous or not true and so forth, then that divests the court of all jurisdiction. Well, nobody believes that. I mean, you
up.
just go, oh,
Otherwise,
I
they
claim
wouldn't be here.
supremacy in
Yeah.
Arkansas. You have no jurisdiction over my client. No. So
Well,
it's inherently not a particularly strong argument. And it took up most of the, they gave 30 minutes to each side. And it took up a vast majority of his time. They left him, generously left him 9 minutes for rebuttal. And then the incredibly dumb DA or
State Attorney
AG,
General.
State Assistant Attorney General, and that sounds pretty high up, but it's not. You go through a whole slew of deputy, and assistants are below deputies. And I think I saw she's making 123,000, which means she's pretty low in the totem pole. So everybody over at the AG's house said, I'm not touching. No, I'm not touching. I'm not touching. Finally got down to her and she just said,
Well,
okay,
there's
let's do
a
it.
part where she almost even kind of admitted, look, I don't even actually know anything. I just
I
kind of drew
understand
the I drew the short straw, so they threw me here. Well,
that. But she was truly awful. I mean, she was ill-informed. She would at some point concede that they were not going to rule for, but she wanted to preserve it for what?
yeah.
Another appeal to the Colorado Supreme Court? And the position she was taking were there were two big ones they perseverated on, and they were good ones. One, they charged him with a felony, but in fact, the reading of it, they did the misdemeanor one. So he got convicted.
She.
She got convicted of a felony, even though the charge was misdemeanor. And you can't say, well, you weren't charged with that crime, and you weren't instructed on that crime. So how can you be convicted
And
on the crime?
sentenced.
And the judge said, I can't believe
You're even arguing.
you're continuing to take this position. You don't have to, you know. And she's kind of going, you don't understand how junior an assistant DA I am. They tell me what to say,
I'm
and
not
I
gonna
couldn't
say.
even prepare it,
Well,
and I
my
gotta
question
go
on
home.
this is,
So that's ridiculous. So
well, let me talk about that a little bit, because
okay,
I think it
sure.
was confusing, because initially, because again, I think it just points out how awful the judge in the case was. So what they were saying is that she ended up being, and it sounds like it was sort of a language technicality. There's like only a few words difference between a misdemeanor, the misdemeanor charge, and the felony
And they're
charge.
listed in the thing. There's A and a B. And so if you're, oh yeah, the felony would be the B or it'd be the A. Or...
Whatever, but it was a clear error on the part of the judge in
Yes.
giving the instruction and not realizing this. I mean, it'd be kind of like saying, okay, you're charged with manslaughter, but they convict you of murder, and the judge like never noticed that they put in murder instead of manslaughter. It's more subtle than that, but essentially that's the thing. They ended up, because the judge allowed it, of convicting her of a felony when she was only, or you know what I mean, when the reading was a misdemeanor. And so my question is how awful, and I kind of think the appellate court was going there too. How could no one
A
have
big deal
caught
is
this?
the judge, the defendants, the defendant, the prosecutors. I don't know who picked it up when in the proceedings.
But I think the judges made it pretty clear. I think it's at a certain, to at the very least, that charge has to go out. That
No. Even when the judge said, "Look, here, I'll help you here. Why don't you just say we'll reduce it from a felony to a misdemeanor?" Because that was the language, rather than throwing it out altogether. Now that seems grossly unfair to me, but she went,
Well,
no. And they said, well, we're supposed to. You're arguing that at the trial there's enough to convict him for a felony, and therefore we should be the jury.
yeah.
We should decide that that evidence is sufficient to make him, and they're just incredulous. He's gonna, yeah, that's what
But
I'm
what's
arguing. As
significant?
stupid as it may seem.
It's significant though, because the fact that it was a felony added, I think, like a year and a half to her sentence. So if you take away, if it, even if they
15
just,
years.
even is okay, even if they just change it and drop
Now
it.
he didn't get evicted, but the difference between a misdemeanor, which is a year or something, and the felony, which is 15 or
If they
something.
said, okay, well, no, it wasn't a felony, so we're gonna reduce that. So that re significantly reduces her sentence. That's important. And then the other thing they were talking about, and I don't know if this is what you were going to mention, but that the judge clearly went off the rails when he was giving his outrageous comments during the sentencing. It was like he was,
No, well, okay, you can go to that one because that's a good one. I'll
well,
go to
yeah,
the
because,
first one.
and they were kind of saying he's commenting on stuff. She clearly has a First Amendment right to say this kind of stuff. And they were trying to say, well, she talked about it in her closing arguments or in her
So what?
sentencing. And they're like,
She
so
can say whatever she wants in her closing argument.
it's like the judge can't use that then as a basis for giving her a harsher sentence, which is what
Well,
everybody's been
you
saying all
can in
along.
part if you're saying you're non-repentant. But you can't say by arguing your constitutional rights and therefore you're unrepentant, therefore I can give you
Right.
consecutive sentences. You have to remember here, well, basically what they did is she made a copy of everything that was in the file, and they said that was illegal, but they didn't charge her with it. And then after that, they were going to go, trust the bill, which is basically wiping the thing clean. And she didn't have enough expertise to determine what they were doing, and therefore she brought somebody in with another name, because you had to be an employee, and this guy wasn't an employee. Well, that you know, that's a jaywalking offense. No harm anybody. No one's hurt or anything else, but it is a violation of it. So were they charged her with? I don't know how many felonies. Every person she's that heard the thing, three different people, none of which was a Secretary of State, all separate charges, then a separate conspiring to do it. I mean, it was just loading on, unloading on, unloading on. And then Matthew Barrett, who I think he deserves worst judge of
Universe.
the universe. Decided to do concurrent sentences.
No, consecutive.
I'm sorry, consecutive. You're right. Concurrent is when you do them together.
Right.
Consecutive is when you do them
You have a
separately.
perfect example. It'd be as if, like, you were jaywalking
Yeah.
and they charged you with each individual step.
Step. And they could, in theory, you could. So each, you could have stopped there, but you took another
Right.
step. And you could have stopped
And
there,
now we're going
but
to
you
send
took
it to
another
another.
step.
And so the appellate court seemed to kind of be going along with that. This seemed unreasonable. And then what was the other one you were going to point out?
Well, her defenses. She one of the charges she had was why she did this act, that she had to have done it to had a mens rea requirement, you might say. She must have done it to enrich herself. And they said, but her contrary to the ones, no, I didn't do it to enrich myself. I did it because I thought the election had been stolen. And the election here and elsewhere was stolen. And the judge said, no, you can't present that defense. Because that'll make a mockery.
Gonna
This will
make it
be
a
a
circus.
does make a circus. And the judge goes, even if it would make it a circus, you can't tell a defendant,
Yeah, the
no,
appellate court said.
no, not, we don't want a circus here. We'll just abrogate all your constitutional rights. That'll be okay, wouldn't it, everybody?
Right.
And so it seems, and that was a misdemeanor. So you'd probably throw out that misdemeanor because
Because
she couldn't provide a
present a
defense.
defense.
The other. Hopefully they'd throw it out, otherwise they'd reduce it to a misdemeanor from a felony, and therefore reducing her time to what? You don't know. John Case said, you know, send it to another judge.
Yeah,
This
don't
guy,
you? Yeah, that
crazy.
would be the very
Yeah.
least. You can't send it back to the same
And
judge.
so, and he shamed himself. And you can go on, I don't think we have, but you can go on online and watch him giving the sentencing
Oh,
where he's just,
disappointing.
you're a charlatan, you're a snake, Olson. I mean, just kind of like, this is a judge?
Well, and
This is whoa.
the appellate court also had, so let's take a look at what's happened. Besides the appellate court then expressing this concerns about the way the whole thing was handled and how corrupt it was handled by the government and the judge, you have a federal court in declining to take jurisdiction of it, going out of its way to note that the sentencing comments seem to be pretty outrageous. That again, that she has a First Amendment right to say these things. You can't sentence her for saying stuff that you don't like. Oh, which, by the way, has been proven to be true. Never, don't
Even
remember.
worse,
Even worse.
even
And then you
worse.
also have Jared Polis wandering around now saying that he thinks the sentence is extreme. So
Harsh is what
harsh,
he is.
yes, harsh. So now you've got the appellate court.
And
Now,
in part, that's why the appellate court, I think, is going, wait a minute, everybody thinks this is bad. We can't just go, oh, yeah, we don't care.
right.
So she's unlikely to have the whole thing thrown out because it really the federal supremacy thing was, in my mind, anyway, pretty weak. And so I think she is guilty of jaywalking, and she should get for time served. At you know, I
That
think they'll
would
keep
be
her in there for as
well.
a court moves along in its 19th century pace, where she rots in jail while they
Again,
get
and
around
apparently,
to.
so I mean, that becomes the danger, right? It's like, okay, yes, the good news is it appears at least that the court is sympathetic to some of her arguments. And it appears that a federal court has indicated it is also somewhat sympathetic to her arguments if and when it ever, excuse me, gets up to them. You've got the governor saying, I also, I'm sympathetic to
Meanwhile, you
possibly
have a
reduce it.
70-year-old woman with a gold star mom rotting in jail with
Yeah,
all
but in
the
the meantime,
drug
all
addicts and
this
murderers.
sympathy is floating around.
She's
Gina
rotting in
Peters, well,
jail.
and she was assaulted last night,
Yeah.
right? It's like she's a high-profile case. Let's keep in mind, prisons are not fun places, right? They're full of dangerous, violent people. Even the lesser violent ones are still full of dangerous, violent people, and crazy people too, to a great extent.
They
And
come
she's a
from
high,
Minnesota often.
yeah, really. So I think that's. I mean, the appellate court did not indicate any timeline as to when it. I mean, and you were
No,
there.
they'll take their sweet time, and I think then
Well, hopefully, they may
the
help it.
prosecutors will peel it up, keep her in jail longer till the Supreme Court gets around to deny cert, or maybe they grant cert, given how crazy they are. I mean, they're the ones who said, "No, Donald Trump running for president, we
Yeah,
can't have
yeah.
that here in Colorado. He's an insurrectionist."
And who is really rotten to me are the Rhino Republicans,
Oh.
oh, like Jimmy Sangenberger.
Jimmy
You've got M
Sangenberger,
Crane and the county
they need to
clerks.
be put in county jail.
Yeah, and who
Matt
are saying
Crane, yeah.
no to release her would be. It's like, give me a freaking. I mean, they have no problem with not Jimmy, but the liberals with sex offenders being set
Jimmy
free.
has no problem with sex offenders. He identifies with sex offenders.
No, he
I
did
didn't say he
not.
was, but I'd
No,
say he
he doesn't.
identifies
No, he
with
doesn't.
those poor people.
No, he doesn't. But
Wait, how do you know?
to the Republicans, the rhinos are saying, oh no, keep her in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, shut up. Do you know what I mean? It's like you've got liberal judges, you've got the federal court, you've got Jared Polis, right? And so, whatever your virtue signaling is to whatever little, social media group you want to be in, just stop it, right? There's nothing fair about this.
Well,
Even
Jimmy came
Polis.
on Dan Caplan's show at the end, and Dan, in the nicest manner, really just eviscerated his arguments, and he came across as a fool.
Right.
He came across as a fool.
Well, and all of these
And
people
Matt Crane, who's been,
who works with
Republican
Flynn.
County Kirk.
Yeah. It's like that she's given us a bad name. It's like, no. I mean, and the more that comes out, I mean, they look even worse. I've been having a discussion with somebody the other day. It was like, it's a complete election denier. I'm like, have you not been reading about the stuff coming out about Dominion, right? That the Colombia or Venezuelan generals who were saying, oh no, the whole system was set up basically to rig elections. Now, we're not saying that it happened in every election. We're just saying
The
that's
Colombia County, or are they
we're
in
just saying that that
Venezuela?
was the whole point of it, right? And so
Well,
all
it
of
wasn't Dominion so much as
Smartmatic.
Democrats
Well,
and
which
which bought
bought,
everybody. But
yeah.
and I don't think anybody's shown that the election the machines were rigged, but it certainly is
So,
they're capable of doing it.
well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So all of these people, and again, it's sort of like the you just slap it. It's like, we shouldn't have to wear masks. Boom, you're banned, right? We shouldn't have to stand 6 feet away from people. It's like, boom, you're banned from that. We think kids should be able to go to school. Nope, boom, you're banned. And then it turns out, oh, you were right all along, right? So, all of these people, and I think they just don't, I don't know. It's atrocious to me. The real betrayers too are the Rhino Republicans who say, oh no, she deserves
Well,
to keep be in jail.
who was the DA? And nobody from the DA's
It's Dan
office, actually.
Rubenstein.
Dan Rubenstein's a
Republican.
Republican, and he conspired with the U.S. Attorney's Office, who was
Yeah.
Democrats, and with everyone else to make sure. Someone wrote, a guy named Fried wrote this wonderful article of all the awful things they've done to Tina. She's in the courtroom, and they try to assault her and say, "Well, you need your phone." And when she didn't want to give them their phone, they charged her with obstruction of justice. They charged her with everything and anything they could.
Right.
And why? Why did they do all that? Why did they?
To keep people to make to tell people this is what happens if you question us, right?
Well, because there is something wrong with the election. If there's nothing wrong with the elections, would you go to this incredible draconian effort to take a poor woman and drag her through the mud to show you, aha,
This is what
there you
happens.
go. Don't you ever question us Democrats
Right.
again.
And
Or
from
as
Jake,
rhinos.
if the U.S. Attorney's Office was involved, then wouldn't Trump be able to partner? Well, there's an argument, right, Jacob, that this is a federal election, that there were federal, that yes, that the U.S., that there was conspiracy between
Yeah, right.
all of the prosecutor's offices. So you could argue that. So far, though, no one's been willing to hear it. I think Tina's best hope is that there is this between the appellate court, Jared Polis, and hopefully somebody paying attention to the federal judge. I don't think anyone's gonna, pardon her. I mean, Trump did, but I don't think Polis is gonna pardon her. But it wouldn't surprise me if Polis, and I'm gonna say sooner rather than
Well, he
later,
can't wait
let her
too
out.
long, yeah, because if they really reduce it, then what does he do? So it was a great day, all things considered. It was a great day for Tina Peters. It was an awful day for Matthew Barrett, the trial court judge, where his actions and his really unjudicial actions were really highlighted. And he, I think he beshamed himself. He really
He
did.
did. And here, we'll just read this. Oh, Jacob, because you always have such good comments off topic. That's okay. George Washington would not approve of NATO. Jacob writes, he famously warned against entangling alliances in his 1796 farewell address, advising the U.S. to steer clear of permanent foreign commitment and focus on temporary alliances for emergencies, prioritizing national interests, commerce, and neutrality to avoid being drawn into costly European conflicts. He advocated for, quote, peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Oh, like NATO. So, yes, as President Trump heads off to Davos. Hey, that's going to
Yeah.
do it for us today. I want to, this could be on Wednesday. We're going to have author Todd Sheets on. He does a lot of financial stuff. And
He's
one of the,
great.
yeah, one of the things
We
I
have him on
wanted to,
tour. He just did a great job.
yeah, one of the things I wanted to talk to him about is the disastrous, because he's talked about the housing crisis of 2008 or what really happened. But I
Right.
want to talk to him about what happens when you have downtown office skyscrapers in Denver selling for $1 million. I mean, what does that do? And what are the, I mean, I just, I mean, that's, I just want to get his take on that too. So we'll
It's
have,
good.
yeah, we'll have
I
him on
mean, all
Wednesday.
other cities are also having huge downturns, but Denver's, I mean, I've never heard of 98% write-downs. 98%. I mean, just the tax base.
Without any sign of it coming back. Usually with real estate, there's signs of it coming back, but in
Well,
the,
nobody thinks it's coming back. Nobody
no.
thinks the office
Otherwise, they'd
it
sit
should be
on
in.
it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, anyway, so Todd Sheets on Wednesday. That'll do it for us today, and we'll see everybody on
Take care,
Wednesday.
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.